Well, good morning, and as you know, this is the last Sunday morning worship service. We're looking forward to tonight, but the last Sunday morning worship service of 19. I could not help but be touched by Brother David's expression in his prayer a few moments ago when he said that it's so hard to believe that we are here at the end of 19 and about the beginning of 20. I started thinking about 2020, at least about 1980. I don't know why, but I thought, wow, we'll never get, to 2020, 2000 maybe, but 2020. And then I got to thinking about what age that I would be, and I would say, man, when I get to 2020, I'm going to be, well, the age that I am now. And I find that very hard to believe, but you know what? I'm very grateful. I'm very grateful for every day, aren't you? I'm very grateful for every moment and for every breath that God so generously gives us. And we assemble on the Lord's Day to worship Him. Some people don't like the word resolutions. I remember a brother one time who said, this is the last year that I'm going to make resolutions for the new year because I've already broken all the ones that I had in mind, and I know that I won't do any better in the next year. But you know, to come to the end of a year, we don't really speak on resolutions any other time of the year. Have you noticed that? So it's almost something built into the calendar that we have some encouraging challenges for the new year. And that's what we have today from the writings of the Apostle John, the disciple that Jesus loved. John so describes himself. There are some people, some writings, as you can see, where we have a definite purpose in what is being written. In 1 John, for instance, well, you go back to John 20. John refers to the things that are written in this book are written that you might believe, and that you might believe in his name, and in his name have eternal life. That was a purpose given at the end of the book. Here at the first John, that your joy, or that our joy, including himself in that, that our joy may be complete. I think about how there can be joy in the world, and maybe it's not complete. And in Christ, we are promised that we can have joy that is complete, that is full, that lacks nothing. May I suggest to you from these writings of John, John 12, verse 36, first of all, in 2020, let's be sure that we are called to be light, way back there in the Sermon on the Mount. But this is a different verse. And like Brother Milton said a few moments ago in his remarks about Proverbs 30, and I hadn't really noted that verse either. The wonderful thing about Bible study is no matter how long that you live, you're constantly discovering gems and jewels that you've never noticed before. And so in preparation of this lesson, I chose this particular verse because I had really not noticed it before or thought that much about it. Here in the last week of the Lord's life, remember, this chapter is right before John 13. He is pleading not with his disciples. He considers them already to be sons of light. But he is pleading with the Jews who have blood on their teeth. His blood. Now you think about that. All he wants is for them to be saved. And he is acknowledging, yes, I am the light that has come into the world. You keep wanting to know, are you the Christ? Are you the Messiah? Yes. He never denied that. And then he pleads with them, believe. Believe in me. So that you may, notice this, become sons of light. Everyone of the age of accountability that is in this audience today but who has chosen, for whatever reason, not to become a son of light, and you understand that means son or daughter of light, refers to the opportunity that we're going to have at the end of this service to respond to the Lord's invitation to become light. That tells us we're either in the light or we're not. These Jews, with nothing but the murder of Jesus on their heart, were definitely in the darkness. As we've observed before, the Bible has a recurring theme of making a distinction between that which is right, signified by light, and that which is wrong, signified by darkness. Over and over, especially in the New Testament, there is this particular distinction. And so, as we think about darkness, let's think about the darkness of sin. Although sin can indeed provide temporary enjoyment, temporary pleasure, that's why we all are involved in it. There is not the long-lasting contentment, joy that is made full that living in the light provides. How many we have heard say over the years, I thought that there would be great pleasure in this. Members of the body of Christ who had left the light, who had lost their way from the light, re-entered the darkness, and then to say, I was wrong. There is no joy in sin. And they came back to the Lord. So the Lord is pleading with people. How about the darkness of doubt? How about the darkness of sorrow? You see, in the light, sin is forgiven. Forever. It can be. In the light, doubts are answered. In the light, sadness, sorrow, is replaced by joy. Now that doesn't mean that we're going to be on the bed of roses for the rest of our days following our baptism into Christ. But there's a joy about us and a joy within us that the world knows nothing of. And in fact, they think they've really got the corner on the market of things that really make people happy. They think that. But eventually, whether sooner or later, they will learn there is no joy outside of the light. Secondly, in 1 John 4, verse 4, I love this verse. Over the years, I've emphasized it over and over, no matter what the topic was, no matter what the class was about. I would ask my students to remember, always remember, especially as we come to an end of a semester, remember 1 John 4, verse 4. You are from God, little children, referring to those that John had converted. You have overcome them, those, in this particular text, he's referring to false teachers that are, you know, threatening the life of the church that he's given his life to. And so, you have overcome them because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Notice in the text, I know this may be a thing of human reasoning or the purpose that's placed there. Notice the pronouns capitalized when divinity is mentioned. It's not capitalized when Satan is mentioned. He that is in the world. We need to be stronger in 2020. I need to be stronger in a lot of areas. We all need to be stronger. This morning in our primetime class, Brother D.C. Huffman led us in a beautiful prayer. Right in the heart of that prayer, he prayed, not knowing what the topic was today. Father, we are thankful for the opportunity that we have to defend you and to defend your way. Help us to do that better. Help us to do that more often. Right there, I said, that's the point. That's the point of being strong. If you really believe that you are in the light in Jesus, why are we so weak when it comes to opportunities to let people know, yes, I love Jesus. I love God. Let me tell you some of the things that I have received from Him. Let's be strong in our defense of God and His way. Number three, let's be courageous. Goes along with being strong. Again, in dealing with those who were infiltrating the early church, John refers in the little one-chapter book of 2 John, anyone who goes too far and does not abide in the teaching of Christ does not have God. The one who abides in the teaching, he has both the Father and the Son. You know, that has a sound like Revelation 22, 18 and 19, doesn't it? About not adding to the Word of God, nor taking from the Word of God. Now, let me tell you, all you have to do is to study the history of Christianity broadly, and in particular, the history of the church, of which you and I are a part, to know that there have always been two extremes. In fact, these extremes were not invented by Christianity. They were very much alive and well in the time of Jesus and before the time of Jesus. But let's talk first of all about legalism. That is sometimes used by another term, those who are progressive in the church. And please understand, whatever I might say here, I speak what I believe to be the truth in love according to Scripture. But this is going beyond what Scripture says that we can do, as well as what Scripture says we must not do. There are congregations right now, breaks your heart, who are going through what they will later report to be a year of intense study and restudy of what the Bible says, for instance, on things like woman's role in the church. Because women in the world from the first century are so much different from those in the 21st century, and yet the word is spoken. You men are the husbands and fathers of your wives and your children, and you're to act like it, and you're to provide that kind of leadership. Those who are men have been given the oversight of every congregation of the Lord's church. And so, it stuns me to hear someone say, after a year of restudy. Well, you studied much more than that before that year. God gave you some kind of revelation within this last year? The Scripture does not change. So there were those who went beyond. Every time we do that, we are saying that the Word of God is not sufficient for every need we have. 2 Peter 1:3 clearly says He has given to us everything that pertains to life and godliness. Everything we need to know. Do we have curiosity? Oh, yeah. Do we have things that we really can only speculate about? Oh, yeah. But God has given us everything that we need to know in this life to please Him. Now, the other extreme is what is called, well, I got my terms confused. Legalism is making commands where there are no commands of God. Liberalism was the word for those who go beyond. But now listen, some tighten the reins and pull back and do not permit what the Lord does permit. And this may be something cultural. This may be something that tradition. Last night I was reading again some pages from the autobiography of one of my heroes, the late Brother Earl West, who is the foremost authority on the Restoration Movement. He was giving an account of his evangelistic efforts in various states, while at the same time being a local preacher, being a scholar, teacher at Harding Graduate School of Religion in Memphis, living in Indianapolis, back and forth all the time. But the opportunities that he had, one of those were several opportunities, one of those places were several opportunities in my home congregation. He said that there was a place in Kentucky that he was once invited to preach that some of his brethren in 1961 did not understand. The congregation was called St. Matthew's Church of Christ. Because guess what? That building sat on a street called St. Matthew's. Now, let me tell you, that thought would have never crossed my mind that there was any problem with a church being called St. Matthew's. But back in 1961, that was a big deal. You know what those brethren did? They built another building on another street so that they could remove the criticism. They did. Remove the criticism that people had. St. Matthew's Church of Christ? No. Now see, that's going a bit far, is it not? Legalism is making rules. Paul deals with this a lot in Colossians. Making rules where God has not given any. And God has given our elders the freedom and the liberty that as long as we meet on the first day of the week, we meet when in their judgment they believe is the best time for us to meet. We also participate in worship according to what they lead us in what the Bible teaches. New Testament Christianity, whose first century converts were usually those of at least middle and lower classes of people. Because those who were greater and stronger did not have the need, perhaps. Be courageous. If somebody says something that is negative or harmful about the church, maybe believing we've gone too far, or maybe we haven't gone far enough and we need to be more progressive. Let's respond kindly by saying, let's go to the Bible and let's see what the Bible says on that. And if I have interpreted the Bible incorrectly, I will be the first to acknowledge it. If you can but show me that what we are doing in the Lord's church is incorrect. Now, as people, can the church be better and stronger? Absolutely. But the plan that God has given to us is absolutely perfect. And it is complete. Forgive me for confusing you with the terms. Legalism, tightening the reins, being legal. You know who was that way in the New Testament? The Pharisees. Rather than worshiping God on the Sabbath day, they worshiped the Sabbath day. Rather than worshiping God in the temple on the Sabbath day, they worshiped the temple. And the Lord brings all of that out very clearly in Matthew 15. Sadducees, on the other hand, did not believe in eternal life. Can you believe that? They were the liberals. They were the progressives. And they were also among the more aristocratic group in society. So we need to be very careful that we rightly divide the word of truth. That's what Paul means. Give diligence to divide rightly the word of God. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15. Number four, let's be prosperous. Boy, I love this verse. There have been some through the years who have used as their salutation at the end of personal letters. I mean, there used to be such a thing, okay, personal handwritten letters. They would use that, especially preacher to preacher perhaps, just simply 3 John 2, and then sign their name. And every preacher knew what that meant. Beloved, I pray that in all respects you may prosper and be in good health just as your soul prospers. Now I want you to notice, is it important that we prosper financially as much as we have the ability or the opportunity to do in our life? Absolutely. We are a very blessed people, regardless of where we are on that scale. But there is no sin in hard work and preparation for that work and diligence and a tremendous work ethic of being blessed with a degree of prosperity. It's how we use that prosperity that can become the issue. But he prays for the financial prosperity of Gaius, his beloved brother. He also prays for his physical condition. Is it important how we feel about our bodies, what we do to our bodies? I mean, you may not, you know, join a gym or something like that, but we need to be taking better care of our bodies. Some of you have been great examples of that. And the reason for that is this. Back there in 2 Corinthians 4, Paul refers to himself and the apostles, who the first century church had the tendency to worship. And Paul said, did we die for you? Who are we? We are but stewards. We are but servants. We are but vessels in carrying the gospel message to you. Now that's why your body is important. That is why your mind is important. Because when you understand the message and you can verbalize in some way, or the very least we can do is live the message and encourage people that way, taking care of ourselves is very important. Not to neglect ourselves, not to neglect the various things that will help us to be a healthier people. And the healthier we are, the harder we can work, not just in our work, but for the Lord. That is what makes your joy complete. And then number 5, be faithful. This is a resolution that is not just for 2020. But when John comes to the end of the book of Revelation, he quotes the words of the Lord himself to the church at Smyrna. All the churches of Asia Minor, as they're called in Revelation 2 and 3, are part of what we now know as the beautiful western part of Turkey. Right across from that land, or that river, Joan, I've forgotten exactly which one it is, but that which separates Europe to the west and Asia to the east. There are no congregations there now. It is an Islamic country. It's heartbreaking. And we would not be permitted to establish a congregation. Roy and I asked our guide back when we visited some years ago, could we come here and establish a congregation? And the guide was so very nice. A 33-year-old man who was outstanding, but a member of the Islamic faith. And he knew the Bible inside out. And he very kindly said to us, probably not. Well, the answer was no, absolutely not. We would not be permitted. But to those churches that were there then, Jesus says to the church at Smyrna, persecution is coming. It's going to be bad persecution. Be ready. But regardless of how bad it might be or how much it might be faithful. Some translations use the word, the preposition, unto death. And there's a good reason for that. The meaning in both is correct. Unto means that you are on the firing line and you would give your life for the Lord who gave his life for you. If you really love him, That is a logical deduction, but is it an emotional deduction when the test comes? We're not accustomed to thinking that way because our government supports our particular religion, right? But what if it did not? Am I strong enough in the faith to say, my Lord over my life? That would be unto death. Until means that very last breath that you take was dedicated to the Lord. We do not know when that will come, whether soon or later, or if the Lord will come in between. We do not know. But that decision has already been made, you see. That conviction has already been held. That commitment has already been lived. And as he lay dying, the late brother Everett Hufford and Jackson General prayed, except he did so in the Arabic tongue, "It is finished." The words of the Lord himself on the cross, and then he passed to be with the Lord. Now that should be the goal of every one of us. Be faithful. Husbands, be faithful to your wives. Wives, be faithful to your husbands. Parents, be faithful to your children. And children, be faithful to your parents as unto the Lord. Friends, be faithful to friends. Employees, be faithful to employers and vice versa. Employers, be right toward your employees. Those who are within families who have strained relationships, work on them in 2020. Even if someone is unwilling to listen, you've done your part in saying, I want to make this right. Let's work together on doing just that. But especially when it comes to standing up for the Lord. So, in summary, in 2020, let's be light. Let's be strong. Let's be courageous. Let's be prosperous, especially spiritually. And the other things will come, the Lord promises. And let's be faithful. And in addition to those that we have mentioned who are here who are not yet sons of light, most likely there's someone here who is not in the light but who has been, who needs to come back to know what it is. I am going to rededicate myself not just to the faith, but to the ultimate messenger of that faith. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, they have revealed unto us, all of us, to the whole world, how we can be certain of our eternal destiny. If that applies to you, we welcome you to come as we stand and sing.